Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Auction Proceeds CCWG Charter Drafting Team Call, taking place on Thursday, the 12th of May, 2016. On the call today, we have Erica Mann, Russ Mundy, Sylvia Cadena, Tony Harris, Jonathan Robinson, and Alan Greenberg. Our board liaisons are Erica Mann and Asha Hemrajani. Currently at this time, I have no listed apologies. From staff, we have David Tate, Julie Hedlund, Marika Konings, Glenn D. St. Jerry, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Jonathan.
Welcome, everyone, to our next UGTLD Auction Proceeds Charter Drafting Team meeting. We had a good meeting previously, and we're picking up on a number of points from there. You would have seen the agenda, and in fact, it's up in the top right of your screen in any case. So before we move on to that, are there any comments or questions relating to the agenda? Okay, let's move straight on with the agenda. And the first major item is this item number two relating to the briefing note we had previously on fiduciary and legal constraints. And you'll see within that there are three points that we can deal with there. One is if there's any further comments or questions on the document itself. Two, we ask for an update from Sam Eisner from ICANN Legal as to which elements she felt really needed to be reflected in the charter. And three, we were going to get an update from our ICANN board colleagues as to any further constraints from the perspective of the audit committee. Now, it strikes me when I revisited that document that I had commented on and Sylvia had commented on and others, as we discussed previously, this document has both application for the charter but also application for the group as a whole. And I'm concerned that we don't spend too long focusing on elements of this document that relate to the work of the subsequent working group and home in on those that are specifically and directly relevant to the charter. So to that extent, it strikes me that it makes sense to look first at bullet two, which is the update we received from Sam on which elements need to be reflected, because if you look at that, it's a much smaller document. Now, I'm just going to check, because that was transmitted to us earlier today by Lauren, and I think Lauren's on the call. I don't know whether, Lauren, you're in a position to speak to this document and make any comments I think that could be helpful.
Hi, Jonathan.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Lauren for the record. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you fine, Lauren.
I can't very much speak to this document in particular. Sam had sent because she had limited Wi-Fi and wanted me to distribute it on her behalf. But I do know that she worked to distill the essential elements that really should be in the charter from that longer note. I just typed in the chat on the left there. I know that Sam and Xavier are going to work with that longer note and sort of distill it down into something a little bit more finalized that could be referenced by the CCWG in its work, just to get a little bit more information beyond what would be included in the charter.
Thanks, Lauren. So just to try and make sure I understand, this document we see in front of us on the screen now, would you expect that to be further expanded by Sam and Xavier, or is it likely to be that the limit of is there more to come as far as this is concerned?
No, sorry, to clarify, Sam and Xavier would be working on the longer note so that they could provide a sort of finalized memo that could be referenced during the work of the CCWG, but these are the points that she had pulled from that longer note that should be included in the charter. So this is the kind of the bare bones, if you will.
Perfect. That's now 100% clear to me and hopefully to others in the group. So are there any comments or points that anyone, I mean, my take on this, therefore, is that we should have to thread this into the charter and then consider the major document for which we have a draft and for which we just let Laura know that there'll be an updated draft. So our objective should be to thread these points, if presuming we agree with them, into the charter and consider whether there's anything else in that major document that needs to be included in the charter. Tony, go ahead.
Yes, I did read most of the, I think, all the long document and then this short one that came in today. And the long document, I agree with you, Jonathan. We have to be careful not to confuse what we're doing with things that the working group will be involved in later and not lay that out for them. I did get the sense that there was a thread throughout the long document very much emphasizing the need to preserve the fact that, I forget the number because I don't have the long document in front of me, but it's either 301C or 501C, which defines a tax-exempt nonprofit organization. And we have to try and, lay out to the people who are going to be on the working group that when they make decisions on how to use the funds, these decisions do not infringe that the nature of ICANN's, status. In other words, if they go to the wrong type of application or usage, then that the ICANN status as a nonprofit, nonprofit organization, and I don't remember the exact the number. It was 501C, I think. That should not be endangered by whatever the working group decides to do with the money. And that was emphasized, as well as the fact that certain decisions that the working group may take, which creep away from keeping the funds within the ICANN mission, would require, administrative and auditing or checking on exactly what's involved, and that would mean cost to ICANN. And that was stressed in several parts of the long document. I'm just throwing this out because it's something I took home last night with me.
Yeah, thanks, Tony, and I agree with that. So it seems that what I think Sam has therefore tried to do is say, look, in order to achieve that point that we make throughout the memo, this is the minimum you should include in the charter, this subset of key points underneath here, because these make sure that, for example, the third one you see in there seeks input on the process of disbursement limitations that will support ICANN's tax-exempt status. And then the point above that talks about in furtherance of ICANN's mission. So it strikes me we should just read through these briefly now and make sure that we don't have any concerns with any of them. And providing that we do not, then we weave these into the charter in the appropriate place and could possibly even ask for staff help to do that, to just include them in the relevant options to the next iteration of the charter. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. Just wanted to remind you, we did at the end of the last meeting ask our board colleagues to have further discussions within the board of exactly what they believe the interpretation is of furthering ICANN's mission and to what extent things had to be directly related or to what extent the I think the phrase that was used in the applicant guidebook of, do good things for the Internet could be perceived to be as within ICANN's mission. So whatever words we put here, we may well want to modify slightly based on whatever comes out of that process.
Okay, so Alan, to be clear, is that a different point to the update from Erica on further constraints that may exist from the perspective of the audit committee, or is that this one and the same point?
No, I worded I I think what we asked them for is to what extent did the board believe we could have a wider mission, not narrowing it. But maybe those are two different ways of expressing the same thing. That is, we're looking for input from the board on more clarity as what does it mean to give away money to organizations in furtherance of our mission. So,
Well, I see Eric's got a hand up, so we'll go to Erica in just a moment. But I will also dig out the notes from the previous meeting and see if there's any record of that or something, you know, well, properly worded or at least reflecting what we discussed previously, not to suggest that you are.
I may have dreamt it.
No, I go ahead, Erica.
Thank you, Jonathan. I think we had a debate. I don't remember it neither really well, but it's true what Alan and what you are saying. We discussed last time that it would be good for some of the topics to be clearer about how the money can be dispersed. And so we have a meeting tomorrow, the audit committee, tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning, and it's one of the main items on our agenda. I tasked Xavier to look into this, and knowing Xavier, I'm pretty sure he will have a quite comprehensive discussion with our auditing firm to understand what the potential limitations might be. As soon as the meeting is over, I will sit down with Xavier, and I'm sure he will send afterwards a note as well to this group. And I think it's right. We need to understand how narrow the space is which we can use. In an ideal world, it will be broad, but we might be constrained because of certain legal constraints. So we come back to you after the meeting tomorrow.
Okay, thanks, Erica. Well, then I suggest we capture it as follows. Marika, if you are taking the notes, or if David is, whoever. I mean, it seems to me that based on Alan's point, there's really two actions we are relying on you for, Erica, to come back to us from the board insofar as you are able to do. One is to best understand with the advice of whomever, board and or external advisors, what the constraints on the use of proceeds might be. And the second is, and I think these are both, there's essentially a financial or legal constraint that's in and around the mission as well as the tax status. So it's really separating out those two. That's the nuance, really. It's the one constraint is that by virtue of our tax status or any other audit-related point, and the second is the mission, and to the extent that the mission, that's the way it works. Okay,
thank you so much,
Erica.
Good advice. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Alan again then.
Yeah, thank you. To be clear, we clearly do not want to do anything that will either endanger our tax status or put us in violation of our mission. Those are constraints we have. At the other hand, on their side, there is, in my mind anyway, an aspirational desire to make to allow as much flexibility as we can in making good use of the money. So we don't want to unreasonably narrow it for the sake of it. So we really want, within the constraints that we know we have, we do want it as wide as possible to give the ultimate group that is going to make the decisions on where the money goes, to give them as much flexibility as possible to do really good stuff with it. Thank you.
I think that's commonly understood now, Alan. Thanks. Tony.
Yes, I just want to come back on points we were discussing. I think we should think about something that is, ICANN is going to undertake something here, which is similar to what donor organizations, as they're known, do, which is give out money to worthy causes. And perhaps it might be useful if a comparison was made as far as statutory obligations with ICANN's ICANN status vis-a-vis compared, let's say, to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or the Ford Foundation. Because if ICANN is going to perform as a donor organization, which is what this is at the end of the line, does a donor organization have a certain, let's say, guidelines or commitments or things they have to fulfill according to the law, which perhaps are not obligatory to ICANN, who is really managing internet critical resources? So it's just a thought I'm throwing out there.
Thanks, Tony. I'm trying to remind myself both of the conversation we had previously and also whether I have a feeling you may not have been present at the last meeting. We had quite wide-ranging discussions, and of course the challenge from a chair's point of view is to make sure that we focus in specifically on the what's required for this group, which is to produce the charter. When we certainly talked about, you know, for example, There was a key point we covered about whether or not this group, the CWG, to be derived from this group, would have anything to do with the disbursement of funds to end users, for example. We also talked about when that disbursement might take place, the fact that this could be undertaken by various types of mechanisms. And It was a helpful scene discussion. I think some of the points you make are along those similar lines, in fact. And Alan makes a point there that in the chat about the Gates Foundation or a foundation. Sylvia, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. On that point, my comments from the last call were exactly on that, on how why it was important for the working group to focus on the process, meaning that to analyze how this what type of mechanism is chosen that allow to manage the funds is one that matches the tax exempt status, and at the same time, what are the requirements for those mechanisms? Let's say it's a foundation. Then if it is a foundation, just for the sake of arguing, then you need to structure a board. The board is separate from the ICANN board, or how do you structure all those things? So I think in the text that we have on the screen, we are kind of losing a lot of the language that was put in the previous discussion, where process has a clear description that it was talking about the legal mechanisms to actually manage the funds and the due diligence required to make use of those funds. And in general, the language used here is, although I understand Alan's point about not being too inflexible, I think that on those couple of aspects, it's important that we use language that is a little bit more clear and strong, okay? Because my concern from the last call is that we are not appointing the working group will not be deciding who gets the money. That is, if a mechanism is chosen, then that mechanism, either a foundation, a private foundation, an endowment, they all have different legal requirements and due diligence requirements to be able to administer the funds. So it's important that we have those two things really clearly stated. And I don't think this text is clear or strong enough to clarify that. So I have a couple of suggestions on the language proposed on the text on the screen that I think we need to make a little bit more stronger and provide a little bit more detail to avoid those, any misunderstandings. Because one of the main things we discussed last week was that the working group was not a selection committee choosing a specific types of organizations or the beneficiaries of the actual funds, but focusing on processes and procedures. Thank you.
Sylvia, good point. So now, how do we actually move this forward then? Because actually thinking about your points, there are really two separate things we want to achieve. And bear in mind, the critical thing we've got to do is take all of this good conversation we have and the picking up on these different points. These have to be threaded into the charter, one. And B, that document that SAM has drafted, which is in draft, and is, which sounds like from what Lauren said earlier, is likely to be worked on and finalized. What I think we need to do is twofold. So here I'm going to capture a key action that we need to achieve, David, is that the document with the comments on it from Sylvia, myself, this is Sam Eisner's draft document, the major draft, with the comments from myself, Sylvia, and others, needs to be transmitted back to Sam for incorporation into her next draft. Thank you. So I think that, Sylvia, will deal with the work that we did on SAM's master document, which will be used for this group and for the CWG. It'll be a guiding document. But then the other point is that she's stripped out, as you are all aware, this document that we see in front of us, the key 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points. And the issue there, Sylvia, is I think what I heard you saying is actually you'd like to edit the language in some of these points prior to or at the same time as it goes into the charter. So the next two actions then are that this group needs to, first of all, agree in principle that it's happy with these 5 points. And if anyone's got any objection to any of those points or concerns about them, we should hear that. Second, we should modify the language as we see fit. Giving David a chance to make sure he's able to keep up with us. And David, under your point 3, it's DT to agree in principle the recommended terms for inclusion in the charter. Exactly, and then your point 4 is good. And then point 5 is review and modify document to be then included into the charter. Yes, and Lauren, to your point in the chat, I'm sure Marika or David will help make sure you've got the right document from the list. It's not brilliantly formatted. There's a series of comments and questions on there that we did discuss with Sam to some extent at the last meeting, and it's really a matter of integrating that. Okay, Tony, thanks for waiting. Why don't you come in with your next point now?
I just wanted to mention, I'm sure probably most of you on the call have seen it, but a mail came in just when the call started from David Tate with comments from Russ Mundy and Erica Mann. And just to make sure we want to look at that before the meeting ends, that's all.
That we intend to cover that, and we will, I think, in item 3, which we'll get to next.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So, I think that's it for this. If I could really encourage you all to make sure you do, I'm just wondering if I should just, I don't want to work through this, I don't think, now with all of us just online. I know it's late for anyone in Europe, and I just want to make sure we don't spend the wrong time on the wrong things. Does anyone have any comments they'd like to record on these 5 points now, or shall we just take it offline? It may be better to just review this. Take offline. Okay, so we agree with our set of actions there, and we're okay to do that. So we'll park this now and move on then to item 3. Let me just check if we covered everything in item 2. We've got the comments about SAM's members being collected in the charter. We've dealt with Erica and the further constraints, and we've dealt with the further comments on the latest version of the document. So that's all okay. So let's move on to item 3. And here we seek to finalize the review of public comments and the identification of which items should be considered in relation to the development of the charter. And this, I expect, I haven't had a chance to look at the document that just came in that Tony just referred to, but I expect that it's an updated version of this. So perhaps Erica or Russ, either of you might want to comment if there is anything further that's been added or any other points relating to these. I see this is a sort of shorthand version of the document. Perhaps. Okay, go ahead, Erica, and up to speed with where this work is at.
Actually, this is Russ. I'm going to walk through it. So can you hear me satisfactorily?
Yes.
Okay, good. The set of inputs that we had, just to a quick recall for folks, had in our initial review that was subsequently sent out to the full SAC team, it identified a number of items that were, we felt, spread across the things that should be included in the charter for the CCWG, things that should be actually addressed by the CCWG itself. And a number of the specifics were related to things that would be stated, we felt, in the charter as principles for the CCWG to use in their work. And so Erica and I, with the help of Lauren, sent out a summary of an analysis beforehand. David and Erica and I had a call before this one where we walked through all of those items. And since we had not received any feedback disagreeing or you know, taking issues with what was in the draft that we initially produced, we use that as the starting point for what the drafting team has agreed to for handling those public comments. And we identified 4 specifics. We did not try to write words, but of the I think there were 30-some comments, 34, 37, something like that. Out of those comments, there were a number that overlapped in different areas, and we grouped those into 4 areas: transparency and openness, accountability, lean and effective process, and conflict of interest requirements. And so those are things that we feel from the public comments input on that draft, on the initial paper, should be written into the general principles area of the draft for the CCWG. Now, there were several areas that were still not fully clear to us whether or not they should go in as a general principle. And that's the next section. There's three bullets there that I think everyone can see. The first one deals with, there were some statements in the public input dealing with diversity, and it was quite unclear what kind or type of diversity that was being discussed. And so that sort of led to the our decision to say, let's raise this question of whether or not diversity should go in as a general principle, or if it should go into the charter elsewhere in some manner. And if so, how should it be defined? Or if it's too imprecise or would be too constraining on the work of the CCWG, if it should not go in at all. So it really is a question to the larger group. Let me just go through the next two, and then we can have discussions if it's okay. Then the next item was mission statement and values, although it is more clear what that meaning would be, whether or not there should be a statement in a general principles section, or if that should go into the charter in a different area, or just how it should be contained in the charter. And the third one that was unclear to us, how it should be handled, or if it should be going into the charter itself, was the principles for disbursement. And the concern there was whether or not this is something that the drafting team should incorporate in the charter. And if we did, would that be overly constraining on the CCWG itself? So those are the three items that were really very much open for discussion. And so if I could just pause there and ask for response, thoughts, comments, what our next steps should be here.
Thank you, Russ. Erica, your hand is up, so maybe you want to come in addition to what Russ has said. I have a quick question for you. And others may have the same question. This principles for disbursement, where does this exist? I'm just not familiar. If you could just orient me in where the principles for disbursement comes from, or where that exists currently.
Well, it was contained in one or two or possibly three. I don't remember the exact number. I think it was two of the public comments where they were talking about the principles for disbursement, and again, it was not particularly clear what the meaning itself was. If it was very different from the lean and effective, statement and do things for whatever group is running this money, don't use more of the money for the group than you actually make use of for doing what it's supposed to do. If it was supposed to be things like that, and all of this is really driven by the impreciseness of the input itself, and yet we do want to be responsive to our public input comments.
That's clear and helpful, and Erica confirmed that. Erica, let me go to you next if you would like to talk.
I think Russ covered everything. There's no need for me to make a further comment. He covered everything.
Okay.
I mean, the only one maybe it's the mission statement, because we discussed this as well. If it shall be a part of the principles, or it should maybe have a different status within the charter. Everything else was covered by Ross. And then the last one, where all of us who were present can help us, I think Alan was in the meeting as well, And we would love to review the ICANN 52 session because we do have the feeling that we might have discussed some principles which were not captured in the comments, but which are relevant. So we will review the transcript, but if somebody else remembers something in particular, it would be nice if you would send this to us.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful and clear. Let me not hold up the queue then. Let's go to Alan next.
Thank you. On principles of disbursement, my inclination always is to provide guidelines, not necessarily principles, because there may well be exceptions that you want to allow. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that we're likely will provide either absolute principles for or guidelines, and I think that's among the things that the working group should be coming out with. You know, no single grant more than a certain amount. I think one of the things that came out of the session at ICANN 52 is the money should not be explicitly used to go back to, you know, registries and things like that. So there's a whole bunch of things that they may be principles, they may be guidelines, maybe we have both. And I think that's going to be the largest part of the job of the working group, in fact, is to try to set the parameters under which the final disbursements will be done. Thank you.
Thank you. Sylvia.
Hi again. I agree with Alan completely. I think it's probably for the draft team will be a comment around or request that the working group works extensively on those guidelines for disbursement, and that the guidelines for disbursement should apply the transparency and openness, accountability, lean and effective, conflict of interest, the principles that are up there that will should guide how funds are allocated. So I think that might give a good conductor line between what are the principles that we are trying to incorporate in how the funds are used and also how those actually applied on the actual disbursement. So I agree with that. The point that I wanted to make was about the diversity and the mission. So one thing that we discussed last week is that diversity should be very clear that the idea is that the funds will be used for the benefit of, globally. And that, for example, if the 501(c)(3) or C3 dark status, that doesn't mean that only U.S. registered organizations will receive funding just because it is easier to do it that way to keep the tax status. So I think that the diversity should include geographic diversity, diversity among the different kinds of communities that participate at ICANN, and maybe give a little bit of room also around the discussions that have been going on around human rights at ICANN, so that the funding is not, the group that works with the funding does not get hammered later, saying that funds were not allocated to the detriment of the community or something like that. So we have to be very strong on, and that's one of the reasons why it is so important that the language and the previous document that was on the screen about the limitation for political campaigns and policy influence, it doesn't say limitation but restriction. Because a lot of the people that work on human rights on the internet will be looking for funding to do policy advocacy. So it is important that it is clear that funds, for example, have that particular restriction. And it's not a limitation, it's a restriction. They can't be used for that because it will impact on the tax status. Plus, will be a lot more controversial, that probably is not what we are trying to do here. And in terms of the mission and values, because those are under revision, at the moment, I guess it will be probably better to refer them as the mission and the values and not probably state them as you know, spell them out, just to make sure that whatever changes come up will not affect or disband this working group, because they are appointed to work on a mission that is not the mission anymore. So I hope that's okay. Thank you.
So here's what I'm grappling with is I find this document to be a helpful and really succinct distillation of the key areas and some of the questions. There's all points made through the last few interventions. What I'm trying to decide is which of this is applicable to the charter, because clearly what I'm thinking is that the charter should say that in developing in the working group along these lines, I'm not prescribing exactly what should be in the charter, but it feels to me like what the charter should be doing is saying when the working group develops the principles, which is going to be one of its first jobs, it should be mindful of clusters identified in the public column, in the public comments, such as transparency and actually an effective conflict of interest. We, for example, don't need to do all of that work. That's what the working group's going to do. So it feels to me that that's really what we've got to try and thread into the charter. So I guess what I would be asking, notwithstanding the need to do ICANN 52 session notes, it feels to me like what we would or should be asking Russ and Erica to do is to try and map these points in the same way as we were doing Sam's previous set of 4 points, to try and find ways of mapping these into the charter. And once these are mapped into the charter, we can then critique them from that point of view. Because clearly we're not about to write the principles. That's the first job of the working group. Okay, great. And I see some support for that approach from Sylvia and Erica. So I'll pause a moment for Sylvia. I think that's your previous hand, Sylvia. If it isn't, then speak up now. If it is, please withdraw the hand. And then I'll go to Russ.
Hello, am I coming through now? I have my mute confused.
Yeah, yeah. Russ, we hear you now.
Thank you. So the main question that I have, I think the first four points are clear in terms of saying that these are elements that need to go into the charter. And I'm certainly fine with trying to, you know, locate the appropriate place to put them in the, you know, the charter format that we have. The bigger questions that I have are really those the middle 3 points. It seems that of those three, the last one, the principles for disbursement, is the strongest candidate for our work, the charter drafting team work, to not include at all. But it's really part of the CCWG itself, and I think I heard Alan and Sylvia supporting that, I think. The other two are still not real clear to me. I thought I heard Sylvia say that she thought diversity is something that we should include somewhere, somehow in the charter. And not having clear guidance on the mission statement, I'd love to have a little more input there as to what, you know, what the group would like from us there.
Okay. We go to Asha. I had a thought on that, which I won't come in with now, but I just want to make sure the action is captured correctly. So, David, what we want the sub-team to do is not to the principles onto the draft charter, but to map these points, rather, the points they've considered and find ways to do it. Thank you. Yeah, because some of those points relate to principles, but there are, yeah. Okay, so let's hear then from Asha next.
Thank you, Jonathan. So I wanted to actually address what Russ just asked about the diversity. So I think, yes, it should be included as a principle on multiple levels. One is, for instance, diversity. It could be, for instance, diversity in terms of the members of the working group. So there should be diversity in terms of which industry they come from, which geographic region, gender balance. There's that level of diversity, as well as diversity in terms of the recipients and the beneficiaries of the disbursements of funds. So I think what I wanted to propose is that we could address diversity on multiple levels when proposing something as a drafting team. Thanks.
Asha, that's a good point. So I think that sounds to me like clear support for the inclusion of diversity into the charter itself.
Yes.
And
so early on, basically, this is something that the DT, that the drafting team, could include, because I don't think this is limiting. I have a separate point about what Alan made earlier about the Bill Gates Foundation, but that's separate, and I'll come back to that later. I do believe I do believe there is some justification or some benefits in limitations, but let's park that for now. But in terms of diversity, I think it's so important and such a fundamental requirement that, from my perspective, that I think this is something that the DT can bring into play at this moment. Thanks.
So here's what I would suggest, and perhaps you can even help because where I think we want to go is we want this group in its different forms, Russ and Erica on the on this portion, perhaps myself and others or someone else to try and thread the work that Sam produced, and what we've got to do in the next week or so is plug this all back into the charter. As far as this is concerned, maybe one you even are willing to pick up yourself, Asha. And
sure, yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Put some text around the levels of diversity. And if anyone in this call has any ideas about other types of or colors of diversity. We've mentioned a few. These are very common: geographical, gender, and organization. But there are multiple levels of diversity. So if anyone has any ideas, please feel free to send them, and I'll put something together.
So, Asha, I've got two thoughts on just structuring this. I think there's one thought I had is, to the extent that such definitions already exist in overarching documents of ICANN, my feeling is we should refer to those rather than reinvent them. That's
sure,
point
sure.
one.
Yeah.
And so it may be that we could just say, for example, and I'm not saying this is comprehensive enough, the working group should pay attention to diversity in all its forms as referenced in the ICANN bylaws, or whatever the case is, something like that. So we keep ourselves neat and tight while still achieving what we want to. And I think the purpose of the charter should be to direct the working group to do what it's going to do properly. And if and only if it's necessary, and you made a good point where it might be necessary to include it in the charter itself, for example, if it's relevant to include something about diversity of membership of the working group, that's where we. So it's just thinking carefully about what is important for the charter and what we are directing the working group to achieve. And so, in framing that input, that would be great if you could think from those two frames of reference.
I didn't catch what you said in the last bit. Your voice was chopping off. Can you say that again? The distinction you were...
Okay, so really, I think... well, as I said, the first bit is make reference to any overarching existing principles, and the second is limiting what goes into the charter to what is absolutely necessary, and other than that, directing the working group to do what it's got to do. So, for example, the limit might be that the charter really only needs to deal with the membership of the working group, and thereafter, we direct the working group to respect and deal with diversity in all its forms, rather than trying to capture everything in the charter itself.
If I may address what you just said. So the two points, the first one, I think you're absolutely right in that we should refer to whatever's already been done instead of it, whatever's already been stated or is in core mission and values. However, that would make sense in terms of not reinventing the wheel. However, I think there is very limited stuff in there about diversity. That's why there is a special... diversity is actually one of the streams of work that will come... one of the areas of focus that will come under work stream 2 for the CCWG on accountability, because there isn't too much on there. But I take your point. And on your second point, I couldn't agree more. I think that what you're proposing makes a lot of sense. So let me see what I can put together, make something very brief and crisp and concise, and we can always add to it if others see fit.
Gotcha. And I think the idea there would be to do it directly on editing the charter or proposing direct edits to the charter, so we start to make real progress on building that document. And I see Sylvia volunteers in the chat to work with you on that.
Would you, Jonathan, have any specific area in the charter where this should go in? Do you have any preference or suggestions?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
But if it's easier for you and you feel that it's it may be in somewhere like the outreach area, have a look and see. And if you feel it's easier to develop the work outside of the charter and then map it onto the charter, by all means do it that way. But I'm just trying to encourage us all to make real progress on building the charter document, which is, of course, ultimately our objective. Okay. I wouldn't mind asking one clarifying question before we move on. And have we said anything anywhere about the... Is there anything at this point, either in the guidelines on the CWGs, on diversity anyway, on the membership, on the makeup of the group, is that already specified or covered anywhere? Maybe, Marika, you're familiar enough with that. I'm not sure if anyone knows. Just trying to think. It's not... Go ahead, Marika, just because that might help as well with a baseline.
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm doing this on top of my head, and I don't think that the issue of diversity is specifically addressed. I think it just talks about the ways in which membership or participation can be structured, either appointment by chartering organizations and or having open participation by anyone interested. It may talk about ensuring that there's broad outreach or communication around the effort so that people are aware that this is happening, but I don't think it goes into the detail of what diversity requirements need to be met. I do know it's also something that came up in the context of the GMSO review, but of course there are certain challenges around it, as I think Asha already noted as well, that there are currently no clear definitions or guidelines around what diversity actually means or how that can be measured. That may be something to factor in as well as you discuss this.
Thanks, and thanks everyone for the input and willingness to work on this then.
Jonathan, if I may quickly respond to what Marika just said.
Go ahead, Asha.
Yes, so I agree with what Marika just said about that, and that's my concern here. That while it is it would be a good idea to refer that to something that's already been done. Unfortunately, it's a bit sparse, any sort of references on diversity. So on the other hand, I'm loath to write a big PhD thesis on this. So I think we can try to put some text together and try to be as brief and concise as possible while giving it the weight that it deserves. And then we can always add to that as and when the group sees fit.
Good. Well, thank you again. And I see Sylvia's support. Yeah. That's great. Right. So I think we, Russ, you may want to pull us back again, but and that's not going to be a critical, it's really a question is, have we covered this sufficiently that we can make some good progress together with now you and Erica, trying to thread these elements back into the charter, and it's with specific help from Asha and Sylvia on the diversity question. Russ, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is Russ. I think that we have sufficient guidance here, and I thank Asha and Sylvia very much for volunteering to tackle the diversity question. Because it is a challenging one, and I think is helpful to get other folks looking and thinking at it. So what I believe the tasking for our subgroup here is to map some set of words relating to the first grouping of four. I think everyone was in agreement that those need to go into the charter as principles, and then figure out how the mission statement and core values should go into the charter, and of course supplemented or addition by Asha and Sylvia for the diversity. And my sense was that the principles for disbursement really is something that the CCWG itself ought to deal with, and we don't need to do anything with it in the charter drafting itself. So please correct me if I don't have it right, but I think that's what I've heard in this discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ. No corrections from me and no hands up at present. So that sounds good. Sounds like we have a way forward there. I'm conscious that I don't want to rush us, but it's many of us are in Europe. I suspect the board colleagues are in Europe. I know I am, Marika is, and it's pretty late now. So I'm going to try and nudge us through the agenda and make some more progress. So actually, the next point is item four is review and consideration of next steps in relation to the charter section questions and example language. Which in fact is really what we in many ways have been working at least as a theme is what we've been trying to do as we deal with these other points as well. So that document came up, and I'm trying to remind myself, Marika, you're going to have to help me here, because what documents have we got that we're working with? We've got this chart. This is the one which is effectively starts to draft the charter. Yes, so I mean, this is the document that I've been referring to throughout. Because with the various comments that we've put in here, we have indeed started to draft the language that will go into the charter. So I think this is a sufficient document that we can add the other work onto this as we start to build the charter out. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. You're absolutely correct. The aim of this document was to try and get sufficient input to be able to indeed grasp the language or use some of the example language that we've included here that either came from other charters or from the work that the CWG principles has been doing. So I think the main question is, you know, we got comments from Alan as well as Sylvia, whether you know, others have reviewed this and are, you know, in line with the comments that Alan has provided, or whether they need a little bit more additional time to do so. But following that, I think at least from a staff perspective, we would be happy to try and take this and, you know, start maybe integrating that into the template charter based on, you know, what the feedback that has been provided and the options presented, and that may, you know, be the next step in the process to actually start looking at language that aims to reflect where the drafting team seems to be at, but of course noting that, you know, that can change based on further review and comments.
Because so certainly that was my view. In fact, I took where we had the example language from previous charters. I mean, certainly my previous criticism and or review of that and seeing what Alan and Sylvia have done. So it feels to me like it would be, because I've been asking people to now add to create inputs into that charter. So it feels to me like we do need at this point a working draft of the charter that the input from Sam's high-level points, the work of Russ and Erica. So I would think that the logical next step here is to produce a initial draft of the charter that we can start to build out with these other work that we've talked about. Does anyone have any concerns with that? Am I rushing us to doing something, or is it reasonable to start to copy this across into a draft charter? Erica?
Jonathan, you're right. I think the next step is the draft charter. We'll make it easier to see, and then I think it will be much easier even to understand what we might have missed. I find it always easier to work on a document and a text instead of having, you know, too long a discussion about what shall go into it. It's easier to see, because then you see as well what is missing and what you have not included yet. I totally agree. Let's do this.
Thanks, Eric. And there's support from Sylvia in the chat for the same approach. So that's encouraging. Alan.
Thank you. Erica said exactly what was going to say, so I won't repeat it. I'm afraid I have to drop off now, though. I'm late for another meeting. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your participation, Alan, and we will try and wrap this up anyway to get our audience off to bed soon. So I think we're going to ask staff to assist us to pull this now into a draft charter onto which we will then trying to think of the right word, transplant or locate these other areas of work that Russ and Erica are doing, that Ash is going to do, and that those of us trying to incorporate Sam's work will do, and we'll move those across. So just to try and wrap up the meeting then, we have a meeting scheduled, and actually what I'm going to do is propose to you a new schedule of meetings, because there are issues with some of the next set of meetings. So currently, I'd like to do that on lists, so please look out for that. I'm going to come back to you with a set of future meetings. But I would like to highlight with you that we are proposing to have a meeting in Helsinki for an hour and a half. Currently, it's tentatively scheduled for Tuesday, 28th of June. And I just guess I'd like any feedback if anyone has particular concerns with that, or if you are supportive, I guess that would be useful. I mean, I think we can take it that you're supportive unless you object to holding a meeting in Helsinki. Marika, come in.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to mention that this session has actually now been upgraded to what has been labeled the cross-community sessions. It was initially included as part of the GNSO schedule, but I think one of the slots opened up, and there was a clear understanding that, you know, the objective of the drafting team is to have a draft charter available by Helsinki to allow for cross-community conversation. So I just want to make sure that people understand that that is the objective of that meeting, and hopefully that will provide you with some incentive as well to have a draft by Helsinki, but it probably will require some thinking, some discussion on how to best structure that session to make sure, you know, you get the feedback you need and to either, you know, fine-tune or and finalize the charter.
Good. Well, that's all the more motivation for getting to work on this chart, as we've discussed, and producing it and then working with that. It also is all the more, it'll give us all a motivation and a focus, so that's great. I'll circulate, as I promised, very shortly, a list of proposed meetings. Now, I want to just check one final thing. Not to worry, actually. I'll send it out with the times. But I know one of the reasons for these late meetings is to accommodate anyone in Asia, and right now that's Asha. Sylvia, whereabouts are you? Just so we can know that in terms of thinking about. So you're in. Okay, so you're also accommodated by these. So this meeting is a good time to suspect, Sylvia.
No.
Is that correct?
Sorry, Jonathan.
Asha?
Yes. Sorry, I just wanted
go
to
ahead.
I'm jumping the queue. I don't know whether Erica and Alan's left already. I don't know whether there was a queue, but I wanted to correct that because actually this time is very bad for me in Asia. This is some, let me think for a second. Now I'm in Europe. Today, at this moment I'm in Europe, but there is the calls are one of the calls that I know the calls are alternating. One of the call timings is great. The other one is at 5 a.m. for me, and that's really bad. So if it couldn't be postponed.
Okay,
right
so
now,
yeah, but I think you being yeah, but you can see the from a European perspective, that's the other thing we're up against now because you can see what flights. So that's the challenge is these two things. I actually thought this was the good one for you, but I understand that.
No, this is the bad one for me. So Lauren just commented on the chat. This is the one that's 5 a.m. for me, and this is very bad.
Okay. And Sylvia, it's 7 a.m. for you. Yeah, I mean, this is a rock and a hard place to try and get this right. Okay, but in any event, at the moment, we are alternating between the two slots. I guess what I was going to say is, you know, if there is ever an exception like this, let us know, because it may be like this one, if, for example, is if you're going to not be in your normal place for the call, let us know, and if it may be that it makes sense to shift the time. But I think it's probably going to be difficult to accommodate everyone. All right. Alan's gone, although his hand is still up. Erica, you wanted to come in with something?
No, it's fine. I just wanted to say, on the timing issue, I don't want to insist on it because I know how difficult it is, and you already mentioned it. But if you, Asha, when you have a 5 o'clock, you know, or 6 o'clock, imagine an hour later. This would mean for Europe that the calls would start midnight. And then if you have a 1 hour or 2 hour call, you can imagine what this means. So we have to find a timing which works for all the time zones, I think. So let's review it again, Jonathan. Maybe there's something which works for everybody good.
Yeah, that, I agree, Erica. I mean, I just wanted to see if there's any other options available. For me, midnight calls are perfectly fine, but, you know, it's everybody has different body clocks. So if there's any other option available, that would be great.
Okay, let's see what we can do then. And actually, that's already helpful to know if you have a preference for a late call rather than an early call, because as you say, Asha, that's very personal, whether it works better for you early or late. I mean, there's plenty of people who would think a 5 a.m. call is far preferable to a middle, but it completely depends on, that really is a personal, individual strained. All right, good. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send up a series of meetings between now and Helsinki, and in the first instance, they will in all likelihood be the same 1300 and 2100, acknowledging that these are imperfect. And if we can find some better times for those, we'll also do that. But for the moment, the idea is to secure the dates, and then we can try and tweak the times if possible. Any last points anyone would like to make before we wrap up? Okay, thanks everyone. I think we've got our plans from the action lists, and we'll get that out to you shortly. And we've got a target, and we're going to be under some pressure to have a decent draft of the charter for community discussion in Helsinki. Hopefully that focuses all of our minds. Thank you everyone, and goodbye for now.
Thanks. Bye, all.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining and have a lovely rest of your day. Operator Carrie, if you could please disconnect all recordings.